from the Xfinity Studios at WVON. You're listening to American Heroes, hosted by Cliff Kelly on WVON AM 1690.
Cliff Kelly, of course, the executive, I should say, the person who is the spokesperson here for America's Heroes Group. Our executive producer is Glenda Smith. Our digital media producer, who's also here, is Manny Corazzari. And we are pleased to have everyone. This program is proudly sponsored by attorney Steve Seidman of Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman, LLP, 20 South Clark Street, 2 First National Plaza, Suite 700, Chicago, Illinois, 60603. Toll-free number is 888-837-3275. The office is 312-781-1977. Also, America's Heroes Group, proudly sponsored by National Women's Veterans United at 7907 and 09 South Racine, Chicago, Illinois, 60620. Office is 872-731-2150. The website, www.nwvu.org. And America's Heroes Group, also proudly sponsored by Eastlake Management Development Corporation, 2850 South Michigan Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 312-842-5500. we are going to talk about something that is so important. America's Heroes Group Roundtable with partner Jesse Brown, VA Works, and we all know that. And today we are going to talk about a very important, well, we always talk about important issues, but this is really something, talking about military sexual trauma. And with us in our studio, we are pleased to have Dr. Ellen Skakowski. Dr. Ellen Koski. And she is a clinical psychologist in the PTSD clinic at Jesse Brown VA Medical Center and serves as the acting military sexual trauma coordinator. And we are so pleased to have her. Dr. Koski is, as I mentioned, a clinical psychologist, earned her doctoral degree in clinical psychology from the University of Missouri in St. Louis in 2013 and completed postdoctoral fellowships in the post-traumatic stress disorder track through the VA Boston healthcare system. She has published numerous research articles in peer-reviewed journals and regarding the treatment of PTSD following sexual trauma. She also has spent the past 10 years providing clinical services to survivors of military sexual assault. Doctor, thank you so much for being in the studio with us today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you so much. This is something that we are hearing more about. And let me say this, because I need to always mention it. We have a call in line, 312-374-8130. Are we hearing, well, seem to be hearing more about it, Doctor. Tell us what is going, what's happening here.
Yes. Well, I think there's a greater cultural awareness of sexual harassment going on with things like the Me Too movement and such getting a bit more coverage. But I think that the VA has really been at the forefront of the topic of sexual harassment and sexual assault and has been aware of this issue in terms of military sexual trauma for quite some time. And we've really been at the forefront of trying to offer clinical services to address the needs of veterans who have had this kind of experience.
And it's even more difficult because, unlike civilian life and so forth, Doctor, you've got the situation where you actually have people who control your lives by rank.
Absolutely. Yeah. It can be a very precarious situation for veterans who have experienced military sexual trauma when they might still be in the same unit where the perpetrator is also serving alongside them. So there can be a lot of fear of retaliation and feeling like they're not safe in the circumstances they're in when the event occurs.
We call that, I think, Doc, MST. Is that it? Is that the term?
That's right. That's a commonly used acronym. You know the VA likes their acronyms.
Right. Right. So that is the acronym for military sexual trauma. That's the term. Okay. And so what it can affect you physically, obviously, and mentally, correct, Doc?
Yes, it can. And so military sexual trauma is an experience rather than a particular diagnosis. But there can be a lot of wide-ranging mental health conditions or symptoms and also physical health conditions that can result. Mm-hmm. But some of the key things that we might kind of assess for include depression, post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms, difficulties with sleep, difficulties with regulating emotions, irritability, and physical health conditions can include things like chronic fatigue or pain, migraine headaches, and even gastrointestinal problems.
That's horrible. Mm-hmm. Goes across the board.
It certainly does, yeah.
And I imagine also, Doctor, that some people get involved with drugs or drinking. Is that true?
That is absolutely true, yes. Substance abuse can often be a way of coping, you know, with the distress following this kind of an event.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what is normally, what happens after this? I mean, obviously each case is different that you have to deal with. But is there anything in general that you can say that our listeners can get a hold of?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, you know, in terms of veterans that have had this experience, certainly the first thing we want to know is bringing the information to light and kind of doing a comprehensive assessment, getting a sense for the symptoms that might be present for a veteran. And I think just having a safe space to kind of disclose the experience and beginning working with providers can be a great starting point for people.
Well, what services are actually available? I know the VA provides a lot, but tell us what.
Great question.
Yeah.
Well, I think that psychotherapy, working with a mental health professional, can be a great starting point. So individual psychotherapy can be a great option.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have a lot of really extraordinary groups going on.
Mm-hmm.
So we have MST survivor groups for males and female veterans. And that can be a really supportive environment for individuals to be together with other individuals who have had similar experiences. We have a lot of other group programming going on to build coping skills for strong emotions that might come up. We have substance use or dependence programs. And we also have intensive outpatient and residential programs for people who might need a little bit more intensive treatment or more support in their treatment process.
You mentioned something, too, that's interesting. A lot of folks probably wouldn't even think about it, Doctor. You mentioned female and male. So you have some males that go through the same thing?
That is correct, yeah. And I think that that's an under-recognized kind of point regarding this topic.
Mm-hmm.
So what we know from the research is that it's an under-reported event, but we know that 1 in 4 female veterans have experienced military sexual trauma and 1 in 100 male veterans.
1 in 4 female?
Correct.
What? That's terrible. And 1 in, which with males is 1 in 100, which makes sense. What is being – well, we know what you do, but, of course, you're there to help after the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything – and I'm sure you know this – that is happening to try to reduce that number?
That's a great question. You know, I think there's been a lot of changes in the reporting structure for events of military sexual trauma where people can report outside their chain of command and have a little bit more discretion and comfort in that.
Outside of the chain of command.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have so many women that are really doing well in the service. Well, always, but now even in combat units, we saw all these women graduating from West Point and so forth. It's a great thing. It's wonderful to have all of these ladies doing so well. Is that going to change anything, in your opinion?
Well, we know that the number of female veterans, I mean, the role in women who are in the military is increasing, as you're stating, but then the numbers of female veterans are growing at such a great pace.
Right.
So we're really trying to find ways to best learn how to accommodate the needs of female veterans, and it's a growing population, so we're having to grow services to keep up with that.
You have to deal with people, Doc, that may still have the person who has violated them may still be in the unit. Is that correct?
Yes.
And maybe, probably is, a superior.
Mm-hmm.
That's very, how do you deal with that?
Well, I think
in helping the person with it, obviously. Yeah.
I think that trying to create a sense of empowerment for veterans who have had this kind of interpersonal trauma experience is really essential. So making sure that they feel safe, trying to empower them, you know, in whatever ways are possible or needed. And, you know, that can take a variety of forms. But I think that key word of empowerment is a kind of benchmark of what we try to accomplish in treatment.
In your experience, what happens if the person, after you're investigating things, in your professionalism, is sometimes the best thing to do, Doctor, to move them out of the unit?
Well, I think that's a good question, you know, and I think in some ways encouraging them to utilize their chain of command and figuring out the best ways for them to achieve safety in whatever form that takes for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that increasing their sense of safety is really essential to kind of moving forward, whatever form that might take for them.
Okay. And does the VA normally understand that when that happens, or when that's needed, with your advice, for instance, does that normally happen?
For them moving out of the
unit?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with veterans, we're usually working with them after their kind of active period of service.
Okay, so they may not be there anyway. I got
sure,
you.
Yeah.
I got you. Okay, that's fine. And so, you know, it's such a, we talk about PTSD, and this is something, and I'm so happy that you're with us today, because this is something that a lot of people don't even think about, don't even know about, really, so don't think about it.
Yeah.
But this is just as difficult from a mental standpoint mm-hmm. as the PTSD.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So this is post-traumatic stress disorder is certainly one of the primary psychiatric diagnoses that can come about after experiencing military sexual trauma.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what we know is that we do really have some very effective treatments for post-traumatic stress disorder for survivors of military sexual trauma. And in those treatment approaches, we really work through processing the memories of the event, increasing a sense of safety and control over the memories of the event, and changing people's, you know, exploring people's thoughts about key theme areas like safety, trust, power, control, mm-hmm. esteem, and intimacy.
And I guess, Doctor, it really, of course, is not a big surprise because we see the same thing happening and we hear about it quite often, particularly now, in private business, right? So many people are being suggested that they have done things to underlings in the companies, and we're not talking about the military at the point. So, and this would, when people, and that's an illness in itself, mm-hmm. to do that to women, but if you have that kind of psyche, it if you would do that in a private professional company, if that same kind of person was in the military, it'd be even greater, probably, mm-hmm. to think they'd have that kind of control over someone.
Yeah, and I think we have to recognize, you know, as you're saying, this is not a situation that's unique to the military.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, when issues of power and control sort of mm-hmm. come up in professional settings, you know, this kind of incident can be under that umbrella.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What normally is, and I know every case is different, Doctor, but normally, if you can you give us any kind of indication as to what can be a general idea as to how you treat these people and how long it takes them to get over the problem?
Absolutely, yeah, and mm-hmm. and that treatment journey of recovery is different mm-hmm. for each individual, but. Mm-hmm. What I can say is, you know, two of the leading evidence-based treatments for treating survivors of military sexual trauma, cognitive processing therapy and prolonged exposure treatment, involve something in the range of 8 to 12 sessions. So 8 to 12 weekly sessions of treatment, and a veteran can see significant reductions in symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder.
When you say that, I'm not, I really don't know what you mean.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
Sounds great, but yeah.
Absolutely. Let me break it down.
Yeah.
So weekly psychotherapy for 8 weeks or 12 weeks,
okay.
something in that range,
mm-hmm.
working individually with your therapist for an hour or 90 minutes. So after that amount of time and doing some hard work in session, processing these memories of the event, you can see a really big reduction in your symptoms.
That's great, and that's what you do.
Yes, that's what I have the privilege of doing.
Privilege, I love what you say, the privilege of doing it. Yeah, that's really makes a tremendous difference, and I'm just glad, Dr. Kolsky, that you're even saying 8 to 12 weeks. That's great.
And I think that's the important thing is
yeah.
that some people, you know, knowing that progress can be made in that amount of time,
mm-hmm.
hopefully can bring some hopefulness to veterans who yeah. might be struggling with this experience.
Because yeah. I'm really happy to, I am surprised and happy
mm-hmm.
to hear that people such as yourself can do that in 8 to 12 weeks. Because that's got to be, you know, it's got to be a horrific situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What else do we need to know, Doc?
Well, I think one important thing to know is there might be veterans thinking, well, how do I even get started if now I know
Good
this
point.
Information about services?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so as the Military Sexual Trauma Coordinator, one of the best ways to get information is just by calling the line directly that goes to my direct office line. And so that number is 312-569-MSTI, 312-569-6784. And so veterans can call that number directly, and I can provide assistance in connecting them with the right kinds of resources that they might need.
That's great. That's all they need. That's your direct line, 312-569-6784. Or as you also said, and you've got this worked out, MSTI.
Correct.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. That's fine. That's great. It, you know, talking to you about this is, Dr. Kolsky, is just great, because people certainly would not, I wouldn't think that this was something that could be treated that simply.
Mm-hmm.
It's not simple because of your profession and all the training that you've had to do it, but it gives everybody listening hope that if they are really suffering from this, and MST is much more prevalent than we thought, because most people just, you know, PTSD, everybody knows about. But this is something. Well, it's such a pleasure to have you on America's Heroes Group and to give us this great information. And thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate you. All right. That is some great information. The time is 4:30. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, WVON host and honored veteran, inviting you to listen every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. as I host America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power regarding the treatment of veterans, retired, and active, discussing concerns for affordable housing, social services, Medicare, and all services geared to veterans. America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power.
Eastlake Management is proud to honor America's heroes. We salute all who have served with valor in the U.S. Armed Forces. We honor your courage and sacrifice for our country and its citizens. We are proud of our employees who are U.S. veterans, and we appreciate the strength and commitment that they bring to the Eastlake team. Eastlake Management, founded in 1983, is dedicated to delivering affordable, comfortable housing to the residents at the properties we manage. Eastlake proudly salutes America's heroes.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, law.net.
Hi, we're the National Women Veterans United, the proud sponsors and partners of the Americans Hero Group.
Our mission is to ensure that women veterans are aware and have access to their VA benefits, resources, and entitlements. We monitor current or pending legislation that may impact VA eligibility and services.
We're located at 7907 South Racine in Chicago, Illinois.
And we provide a safe place for women to come relax. We have a meditation room. They can get food, clothing, housewares, whatever emergency services they may need.
We're the only Women Veterans Center in the state of Illinois. We are members of the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, Coast Guard, National Guard, and the Reserves.
Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. This is America's Heroes Group on Saturday, July 13th. We are on iHeartRadio, and our call-in number is 312-374-8130. And we are pleased, of course, America's Heroes Group Roundtable with partner Veterans Benefits Administration at Chicago Regional Office, and our good friend Hugh S. Turner, the Senior Executive Services, is with us Executive Director, Chicago VBA Regional Office. Mr. Turner, how are you?
Hey, great. Thank you for having us on again.
Always a pleasure to have you on. And we welcome Alice Harston, U.S. Air Force veteran and legal administration specialist. She grew up on the south side of Chicago, spent 10 years in the U.S. Air Force. She's a veteran who currently works as a legal administration specialist for the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs Regional Office here in Chicago. She has 25 years serving veterans as a veteran service representative adjudicating benefits claims. She's also the Women's Veterans Coordinator for the VA Regional Office. And as the new patient coordinator, Ms. Harrison provides monthly briefings to new patients at the Jesse Brown VA Medical Center. She passionately walks the veterans through the claims process, ensuring the veterans are educated on the claims. And Ms. Harrison, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Grew up on the south side of Chicago, huh?
Yes.
Great. Where about?
Near High Park, 63rd.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. And still ended up in the Air Force.
Yes.
You know, that's a joke.
I know.
That's a joke. You start us off here. We'll talk to Alice because the VA uses the term, and we were just talking about that with the doctor.
Yes.
Military sexual trauma, MST, to refer to sexual assault or harassment experiences during military service. And it includes any sexual activity that you are involved with against your will, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Give us some examples of that, if you would.
Sometimes there are experiences when there is someone, your superior, that is asking for favors in exchange for duty assignments, or there can be some unwanted touching of a fellow soldier. There could be some comments made that makes you feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Few things like that.
Which would seem to be, when we have so much of this in private industry, we're hearing about it every day now, mm-hmm. you know, including suggestions from our commander-in-chief, which we won't get into. But in the military, the thought that you could do this and get away with it would be even greater. So what happens when people come to you? How does this work?
A lot of times when veterans come in to mm-hmm. discuss military sexual trauma or to file a claim, they have not reported it to anyone. And if mm-hmm. they have reported it, it has kind of been swept under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of feel kind of pushed out. Nobody believed them. So it's for us to kind of listen, for the markers, is what we call. Sometimes there are instances when military sexual trauma has taken place. The veteran has either asked to transfer to another unit. Usually their career kind of changes. If they were what we call firewall fives, like an excellent soldier, sometimes they tend to decline in their behavior. And we look at things like that because they don't report it. So there are other things that we have to kind of check to see, just to understand what happens after the military sexual trauma takes place.
So in that case, Ms. Harston, does that mean then that you might feel that the MST happened, but it hasn't been reported?
Yes, a lot of times it has not been reported.
That's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. So what happens in that case?
That's when we look for those markers,
okay.
when they're applying for a claim. Sometimes it could there is a situation where I was able to assist someone. It wasn't reported, but mm-hmm. they had written a letter home discussing what happened,
mm-hmm.
and we were able to use that in order to, assist the veteran.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So you could determine through your experience.
Yes.
That this probably happened, even though it hadn't been reported.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Please. I was just going to go to you.
Yeah, I was just thinking, as you alluded to a little bit earlier, this seems to be more prevalent than we'd like to think.
Mm-hmm.
I think within the last 48 hours, the nominee for the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs resigned as a result of similar issues. And it's interesting when you read the account of the young woman who was involved, there's always that fear factor, you know, when somebody approaches you because of the superior-subordinate relationship.
Right, exactly.
And what type of impact could occur with regard to future assignments, things of that sort, and why she remained silent up until recently. But, yeah, it's one of those unfortunate things that, quite frankly, is embarrassing for a lot of folks. And on my part, as a male veteran, I'm ashamed to hear that those things occur.
Yeah.
But for individuals like Allison, she's been in this line of work far longer than I have.
Mm-hmm.
She's trained. She has the expertise.
Mm-hmm.
She has the sensitivity to deal with matters like this. And we're very fortunate to have Alice on our team at the regional office in Chicago.
I can see that. That's just great. That's just great. Our call-in number is 312-374-8130. If anybody has a question or comment, we'd be more than happy to hear from you. You know, this is something that all veterans, myself included, it's really sickening to think that...
I agree.
Yeah, it's sickening to think that someone would do that. And I'm glad that you just brought up, Hugh, that this guy just resigned. Good. Never should have been there. You know, it's really unfortunate. Again, Alice, what do you do, after you do your reports and all? Give us a understanding, if you can, as to what normally happens, if there's any norm. If there is a norm, you know, because I'm sure everybody reacts differently.
Yes. Normally a veteran will come in. Most cases, they don't want to speak to a male. They normally want to speak to a female.
Sure.
And that can be a male or a female veteran. They'd rather speak to a female. That's usually when I go out.
Even a male veteran would prefer to speak to a female. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Normally I go out and speak to the person. I don't ask any direct questions because I don't know if they feel comfortable enough to discuss what happens. I just kind of give them information on what the claims process is. I tend to put questions toward, like, you know, if it wasn't reported, were there any residuals to the event?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes there has been, if I'm able to get kind of personal, sometimes there are pregnancies, sometimes there are, you know, STDs, and that's usually documented, and that really definitely helps with the process. But normally they don't want to talk about that, you know, if there are. So, but some are, you know, comfortable enough to discuss it, and that'll definitely help us with the process of filing the claim.
Yeah, I'm not even thinking about that. You're talking about possible pregnancies and STDs. Certainly. So, well, that's something. So what would happen in a situation, Alice, where the person who is guilty of these things? What normally happens? You have to try to help these people, obviously.
Yes.
What happens to if there obviously is some proof that benefits need to come to help these people? The person who is really the cause of it, does anything happen to them?
By the time that this takes place, is usually years later.
Okay.
So we focus on the victim or the person who's, you know.
Yeah.
Who it has happened to, and we try to give them as much care we can.
That's what you're concerned about.
Send them.
But you do know the person who, of course.
Sometimes the veteran doesn't even remember the name of the
person.
So, Sometimes they do.
Yeah. It may not be somebody in the same unit, for instance.
Right.
It could be,
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You respond to that.
Well, I think there's very little recourse for the VA in an instance like that to find out who that person was that committed, you know, for all practical purposes, a crime.
Exactly.
You know?
That's what it is, a crime. Yeah.
And I think it only comes to light in situations where the person, where it's more recent, much like, you know, the nominee for the vice chairmanship of the Joint Chief, which this information came to light this week as a result. And it's amazing because my recollection of reading several articles about the woman who came forward, she kept silent because she was fearful for retaliation.
Sure.
And she was under the impression that this individual was, he was a four-star, he was going to retire. And turned out he wasn't. He was being nominated now for this other position, which is when she decided to come forward and tell her story. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. And then you always have the dynamics of he said, she said, she said, he said, and how do you deal with those type of circumstances where there may not have been any witnesses.
Yeah, exactly. Normally they wouldn't be, I presume.
Right. Yeah. Normally they're not.
Yeah. Wow. It's a very interesting thing. We talk about PTSD, but all of this is coming up too. And it's as far as the victim, it's just as bad, isn't it?
It is. It is just as bad because years later, they're still suffering.
Isn't that something? Yeah. What do you do about it? I mean, I know the treatment and so forth, but how long, in your experience, Alice, do you see that people are still impacted by that? How many years later? I know there's not
quite a while, because I've been in public contact since 2013, and I still have some of the same veterans coming in.
Some of the same?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For symptoms that have gotten worse.
Gotten worse?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. I think there was a member of Congress, as I recall, a woman member of Congress who recently informed everybody that she was also a victim of sexual assault.
Right.
You know, and this is many years after,
right,
but it still resonates
exactly
with the individuals.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, Hugh. I heard the same thing. I've forgotten who that was, but obviously it. Well, you know, it's an unfortunate situation that folks think like that. But when you have, you know, a situation, which is bad enough, we got with the situation with PTSD. You know, that's understandable. But you know, people need help, obviously. But you know, in this situation, it's just that I don't think a lot of folks, and I'd like to know, Alice, if in your work, people would probably think a lot different with somebody suffering from PTSD than suffering from this sort of thing, because they would think that the person who has put them through that, it, you know, it's a totally different thing. It's a crime.
Yeah. Yes.
Except I think, you know, I would probably take issue with that.
Good. I hope I'm wrong.
That, you know, the events that we're talking about contributes to PTSD.
I'm thinking they're different.
Right. Yeah. And so they're not incongruent.
Okay, I got you. Know. Yeah. So. Yeah, well, that I would understand. Yeah, if you got, yeah. What do you think about that as a professional?
I believe that a lot of the symptoms, or, you know, PTSD, anxiety, depression, a lot of irritability with your wife, girlfriend, family members.
Sure.
That's usually what I hear normally when I have a veteran who comes in, and sometimes they have their significant other with them.
That's
and
the PTSD.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And see that. Yeah. And that They mentioned something in the news, which I was happy to hear. Maybe they've said it before, but the 4th of July, they were saying if you are going to use fireworks, be careful of how you use them, and children and veterans. This is the first time I've heard them say veterans. See, that's a good thing, because there are veterans. I know veterans who have some problems with hearing noises and that sort of thing.
Yes.
But how can you, Alice, how can you say something relative to this sort of a situation? I mean, how can you warn somebody? You know, it's a totally different issue.
It's a totally different issue. There needs to be a lot of support from us once they decide to report it. They need to feel comfortable. Sometimes I take a little longer in my interview, probably than I should sometimes, but I want to make sure they are comfortable enough to talk, and sometimes they'll discuss some stuff, and I even assist. There's a form that they complete, kind of explaining the experience if they feel comfortable enough for us to process the claim.
You know, that's got to be so difficult to the person to talk about this sort of thing, and then for you to be able to process the claims. Thank goodness there are people such as you that do that. If, in fact, is it usual or abnormal for the victim, Alice, to say who the assailant was?
If they know the name, if they remember the name, then yes.
They will say, okay.
But at this point, we don't.
It's irrelevant.
Yeah, it's irrelevant to us. Yeah, the important thing is that we can help them to seek benefits and to get some kind of treatment for some healing.
I guess there is no way to tell how many people are out there who need it in. Who never attempted to get any help.
And a lot of times, veterans don't even know that there's help available.
That's true.
So
that's
this
why
is
we
a
do
perfect
this show.
Opportunity
yeah.
for us to let veterans, male and
yeah.
female, know
yeah.
that there is help out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we are willing to help. Just come in and see us. I'm Alice. They can call me directly. I'm at 312-980-4435 if they want to discuss file on a claim or
see that is so
treatment.
Important, Alice. Your last name is Harston.
Yes, sir.
And that is so important because I, you know, that there are women who have been raped in civilian life who don't even want to talk about it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean, it's a crime. Sometimes they even know who the assailant was, but still they don't want to talk about it.
Yes.
In a situation like this, I'm sure that you know, it'd be all kinds of problems, and it's just great that the VA is doing this.
It is.
You help a whole lot of people. That's great.
There are also programs that help the spouses or significant others in the event that the veteran is granted for a condition. So there's help.
You know, that's another good thing that
other.
You mentioned, because there are some people who would want to come in and are now married, you know,
yes.
and are fearful of how the husband, or even the other way around,
yes. you know,
may respond.
Yes.
You have to deal with that, too.
Yep.
I love what you're saying. A lot of folks don't get the help, and that's why we are here, Alice. A lot of folks don't know that the help is even there.
Yes.
You know, it's amazing. It's not amazing that, I mean, it's amazing that it's happening. It's not amazing that folks don't know it's there, because I didn't know it was there, you know. I just think it's great what VA does. VA does so many things for so many people.
And we hear it a lot that they never knew that they...
Yeah, of course.
That the regional office even existed. They always say, well... they've gone to the hospital, but they didn't know anything about the regional office.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we've tried to do a lot more outreach to go out into the neighborhoods mm-hmm. and go into the different areas mm-hmm. to let people know that there is help besides the hospital at the regional office. We help process claims on site sometimes and some of the outreach.
Well, I know the VA is doing a great job, and of course, Turner, Mr. Turner, is on this show more than I am. So he makes sure everybody knows. And, but the VA is just, you folks are doing a great job. And again, there's so much more to do, and that's why, you know, as much as I have, what the VA does, what you're talking about today, I didn't know that.
It's a difficult topic.
It's a difficult topic. Yes, it is. It is a very difficult topic, but it's something that certainly ought to be talked about.
Yes.
And that's the wonderful thing. I want to give Alice's number again because this is important. Because some people really, I know, needed to write it down for somebody else. Alice Harston, her last name is Harston. And the number, her direct line is 312-980-4435.
Yes.
That's right. 312-980-4435. That's just a great thing. And I tell you, there's going to be, you know, when you think about that, as both of you mentioned, if the person has a spouse, they may not want to come forward for fear of how that person's going to react.
Yep.
You know. We've heard of people say, well, you ask for it and all that kind of crap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In civilian life, I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And some folks are not understanding. So it's a great issue. And it's just great that the VA is doing what you're doing because there's so much that needs to be done to help these people. We talk about all the time the PTSD, but this is something that is getting a lot more of attention.
Yes.
And I'm glad it is. I'm glad it is.
Me too.
Yeah, absolutely. Hugh, you got anything else to say?
Well, no, we just very grateful to you and WVON for having a venue and a platform to be able to talk mm-hmm. about some mm-hmm. of the positive things that VA is involved in, especially here locally in Chicago.
Sure.
And the dedicated professionals that we have, much like Dr. Koski, who's your previous guest from the Health Administration, mm-hmm. Jesse Brown, and folks like Alice here.
Mm-hmm.
Dedicated professionals, you know, here to help veterans. We take it seriously.
You certainly do, and we've found that out. And it's just great because there's so many people that I know personally who have been helped, you know, from going to the VA. Because at one time, there were a lot of people who even questioned, well, you know that, they even questioned, well, what am I going to go to the VA for?
Yeah.
You know? But that's becoming a thing of the past, thanks to folks like yourself because and all the other people who are working over there, Jesse Brown, because they just do a great, great job. It's been great. Again, I want to give this number one more time, Alice.
Okay.
312-980-4435. That's Alice Harston. And, of course, Hugh is always here. So we're always happy to have him. I want to thank you folks so much. It's really a great thing you're doing. Sure. Mm-hmm.
This is a little different topic, but
sure.
Recently the president signed a new law which extends Agent Orange presumption to Blue Water Navy veterans from Vietnam era.
Mm-hmm.
And we are getting this information out to the public. Folks can certainly file claims, although we won't take actions on the claims mm-hmm. until the effective date of the law,
right.
which is the 1st of January of 2020.
Yeah.
And what this allows is for individuals who served on vessels operating not more than 12 nautical miles seaward from the in the waters of Vietnam and Cambodia mm-hmm. Are eligible to file for these claims.
We'll talk more about
I want to get that.
That
information out.
That's great. Thank you so much. Thank you both. We'll be back.
Okay. Thank you.
Together, baby, we're all alone.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly, and of course, this is America's Heroes Group. On Saturday, July 13th, we are on iHeartRadio. All you need to do is download the app to your smartphone or tablet and take us wherever. You can also go to WVON.com. And our call-in number, our guest call-in number is 312-374-8130. 312-374-8130. Well, we have someone on our live line that is just doing such a great job. She is known as Sister Soldier. And Sister Soldier is somebody you really want to know. In America's Heroes Group Roundtable, she serves, she matters. Don't forget that. Sister Soldier is an inspirational speaker, a God-fearing, creative thinker, a retired senior non-commissioned officer of the U.S. Army, a serial entrepreneur, certified transformation coach, and the visionary producer slash host of the national syndicated television show She Vet Inspires. She enjoys helping other deplete barriers that attempt to stunt their development and prosperity. She's the published author of A Spirit Warrior's Mindset Life Mastery Series. And as a spirit warrior, she dictates and dedicates her life to eradicating unemployment and creating diversity in the working world. She strategically teaches others how to become masterfully indispensable in their career using their spiritual gifts to build divine relationships and generate success. How are you, Sister Soldier?
Hi. I'm doing well.
Good.
Doing wonderful.
Good.
Excited to be here.
Well, listen, we are excited to have you. You're doing such a great job. You know, what you are, of course, your real name, correct, is Wanda Petty. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Wanda Petty.
Yes.
But retired, as I said, non-commissioned officer, but now known as Sister Soldier. And the president and CEO of She Vet, INC. Tell us about that.
So She Vet, Inc. is a corporation that it's a corporation that I put together to be able to give back to society. It is a social enterprise, and we basically focus on development of community and women in the military service and minorities through diverse and inclusion. So it's a production company. I am a television producer. But I also, as a veteran, I help train women in the military community in order to help them transition back into society. So it has three components. It has a nonprofit, whereas we do project management training. And then the She Vet Inspires is a television show that branched out of the nonprofit and works through the for-profit to be able to host shows that are helping women and veterans transition.
That is great. Now, how long have you been out of the service?
Ooh, I've been out of the service almost 10 years, actually.
Okay,
and
all right.
This February makes 10 years.
10 years, okay. I wasn't sure how long because you've done so much with the time. I thought it might have been longer than that. How did you decide? This is just great. How did you decide to do this?
Well,
First, before you respond to that, I ask you how long you've been out. How long did you serve?
I served for 21 years.
21 years.
Served for 21 years.
21 years. Okay. Now go to my second question. How did you decide to do this? This is great. 21 years. Yeah, you know what you're talking about. Without a doubt.
Well, you know, it's hard to just exit the military and just think that you're going to be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
When I left, I was just like most people, a little bit tart and upset and thinking that I wasn't going to have anything else to do with it. I was running as far away as I could, and God just didn't have it that way. I realized that there was a reason that I was enlisted and that I joined, and that there was a need for me to reach back. And I also felt throughout my process of transitioning, there was some depression that came about and some loneliness, and I didn't know where that was coming from. And I'm from a family of military service members, so I have a brother-in-law who is a command sergeant major, retired now. And one day, after being out for maybe about 3 or 4 years, I went to hear him speak. And as being a former recruiter, I saw a lot of my peers. So we were all there gathering at the church where he was speaking at. And I saw them in uniform, and something sparked up in me. And I began to feel that pride again. I began to feel like I belong. I began to feel as if, you know, like this was me. This is who I am. And so I realized at that moment that what I was longing for was to be back in a part of the community of which I had come from. And so I had to realize, okay, how could I create that? It really wasn't developed or anywhere around where I am at this point. And at that point, everybody was starting to get out. And this was right during the time of Iraq and Afghanistan. And so it was a lot going on in that time frame. And I realized that I was missing my community and what I had wanted to get away from so desperately. I now needed it again. And being that there was nowhere for me to connect because there wasn't anything going on, not a lot of activity, but just people trying to find out how do I fit in? Where do I go from here? I created it with my nonprofit because I realized that there was a need, and the need was for us to be able to get back together. And I figured this was one of the key components for us to be able to survive. So I found myself back into the situation of helping my peers, and I had to do what I knew best, and that was what I was trained to do. And so that was human resource management. So I started there. I started helping them with their transition because I now understood where they were, what they were experiencing. And at the time, I was a realtor. And so being a realtor, I saw a lot of service members who were losing their home because they were going overseas, and the banks didn't know how to handle the situations, and most of us didn't know what to do. And the law for protection was just now being identified. So we had to have the service members law. And so I was a part of a key component part of helping veterans keep their home. And that was where I really began to identify what our needs were. And I found myself using the skills that I had while I was in and helping us to be able to create a bridge to cross over into the civilian world.
You know, that is just great what you have done. And you mentioned also that you were a former recruiter?
Yes. Yes.
So you knew exactly what to do to get people involved, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And did you say that you were really experiencing some depression and loneliness?
Oh yeah. You know, it's leaving the military, especially after being in for so long.
Yeah, 21 years.
That's all all we know to do. And so we become a part of that culture. And so it's a traumatizing event itself, just leaving and everything be cut off. So where we think that, yes, the service benefits are there, and, you know, everybody, we have the skill, and we now are able to be hired on jobs. But if we can't adapt to the community of which we are returning to, then that's a trauma. It's like, I can only explain it as if I was a paratrooper being dropped into the desert with a parachute and saying, thank you for your service, and
wow.
We'll see you later.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that something? What's your MOS?
So my MOS is a 71 Lima. We were administrative supervisors in human resource management.
Okay. So you knew a lot about human resources and management anyway. That's fine. So Juan, are you able to help a lot of people? Well, this is really something. Your big thing now is in what you're doing is to give back to society, right?
Yes, it is. It is.
And when you had the depression and loneliness that you were talking about after you had come out of 21 years, how long did it take you to understand that this was what you needed to do?
It's a process.
Mm-hmm.
It is a process. And it's something that is constantly being worked on. I'm at a much, much better state than I was because I not only left as a retiree, but I left as a medical retiree. So when you have all of these layers that are added to a transition, not everybody leaves and walk away health-wise, you know, and healthy and able to walk into another job. And most of the time, even when we do that, we still are feeling like, you know, where's the camaraderie? There's not the same connection because most of the time we're working with people who don't understand our language.
When you said medical retiree, what did you mean by that?
So I was medically boarded out of the service. I wasn't ready to get out. Even though I had 21 years, I wasn't ready to get out because I was still very fit. And I was young and I had a lot going for me and I was ready to make, you know, master sergeant.
Okay.
So everything was going great. And I just had an accident one day that, an injury that caused me to just to rock my world. And so it put me in a whole different state at an unexpected time. And for me to even grasp that this was my body was not at the full capacity that it was, and I was used to working in it and being able to stand up long durations of time and run PT like I normally would and just do everyday things. It was really difficult. It brought on a lot of feelings of not being worse because oftentimes when you're in a situation like that, even though I love my peers and, you know, I love what I did, it's not very accepting. So when you're not at your best capacity of being well, sometimes they cast you out. It's pretty much being shunned because now you're not a part of the team. You're not carrying your weight. And so you're no good anymore. If you can't do the physical things because that's a very physical job. And if you can't run and keep up your physical well-being in order to carry the mission out, then we really can't use you. And most people get medically boarded out really quick because of that. So if something like that happens to someone who is enjoying their career and they're a staple at what they do, it's traumatizing because it's like, I didn't expect to get out right now.
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And even though I was in for those 21 years and I had been preparing, so I had prepared 5 years prior to my getting out that I was going to be a realtor and utilize the skills that I had learned. And I was preparing for that, but I didn't expect it to take place so quick. So when it did, and when I was not at my best capacity, it caused the depression to come upon me.
Sure.
And so I was reassigned to Walter Reed, and being there, it was even more traumatizing because I saw a lot of injured, wounded warriors coming in, you know, on a daily basis. And they were just shuffling us around. They didn't know what to do with so many of us that were there at that time because of the war. So I dealt with that for quite a while. And it just depends on the day and the, you know, the season of where it is. I may have reflections of that, but it's not something that I choose. And I say I choose to let me stay where I am because I have work to do.
Wow. You really, you're doing a lot for a lot of people. And now I understand a lot more since you have been through the same thing that you're helping a lot of people get through themselves, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
21 years. Yeah. Okay. But you were not intending to leave then. As I said, you were medically boarded out. I got you.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the difference. So how did you just made this great transition. I mean, you know, the TV, all of the things you're doing, it's just great. You're helping so many other people. You know, what are you going to do next?
You know, so where I'm at right now is I'm really building. I love to build and to create and change lives. So we're at the point right now where we're working on the employment side of our business.
Mm-hmm.
So whereas helping vets find employment. So I'm really passionate about helping, being that I have the experience of not being completely healthy to where it's physically, right? Whereas I could go to work. I understand the impact that having a loss of income, a sudden loss of income can have on a service member or anyone for that matter. So I created some different programs that are allowing an individual who have had a experience like that to be able to utilize their mind. And I felt like oftentimes just because my body wasn't able to perform at its previous capacity, there was nothing wrong with the rest of my body, you know, my arms, my mind, most of all. I could use that. So I am helping women in the military community to be able to translate their skills and start creating virtual jobs for them, you know, train them in the project management area, whereas they can now take the skills that they have, and some have skills like we don't need that many nuclear specialists out here. They're trapped in being able to find a job that will take some of their skill and pay them a sustainable income. And this is where the homelessness comes in at, and along with all the other things. So when you can't work a job and you won't, can't find a job that is going to be able to sustain your lifestyle compared to what you were experiencing while you were in the service, because let's face it, they took care of everything for us. So if everything is taken care of, we don't have to worry about a whole lot. And so it's converting the mind to know that these are responsibilities that we have to take care of, and this is how much money I need to make in it. I can't go out and spend it on the rims for the car or just entertainment all the time. I have to consider the light bill. I have to consider paying the water. And the babysitter and so on and so forth. All those things that were taking care of us added extra, needs compared to the money that we were making that was handling everything. So being able to get a job and use the skill and take on additional training and technical training that can help one work virtually from home anywhere or off-site from their job will really help and benefit the military community so that the family is not struggling and just one person with an income is, you know, one person bringing right. in an income, because in most cases, military families travel so much that
sure.
it's hard
mm-hmm.
to keep hard a to stable job.
Right.
And so if we could create something for them that they can carry with them and not have to leave it every time and depart a good paying job, then now we're really contributing to their lives.
You and are so, doing a great, great job, Wanda Petty. You are a known as Sister Soldier, and I just want to thank you. She's the president and CEO of SheVet, Inc. Keep up the great work, and thank you so much for joining us today. We just appreciate you. Keep up the good work, and we'll keep in touch, okay? Thank you.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
You're more than
Bye-bye.
Welcome. Bye-bye now.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, WVON host and honored veteran, inviting you to listen every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. as I host America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power regarding the treatment of veterans, retired, and active, discussing concerns for affordable housing, social services, Medicare, and all services geared to veterans. America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power.
Eastlake Management is proud to honor America's heroes. We salute all who have served with valor in the U.S. Armed Forces. We honor your courage and sacrifice for our country and its citizens. We are proud of our employees who are U.S. veterans, and we appreciate the strength and commitment that they bring to the Eastlake team. Eastlake Management, founded in 1983, is dedicated to delivering affordable, comfortable housing to the residents at the properties we manage. Eastlake proudly salutes America's heroes.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, law.net.
Hi, we're the National Women Veterans United, the proud sponsors and partners of the Americans Hero Group.
Our mission is to ensure that women veterans are aware and have access to their VA benefits, resources, and entitlement. We monitor current or pending legislation that may impact VA eligibility and services.
We're located at 7907 South Racine in Chicago, Illinois.
And we provide a safe place for women to come relax. We have a meditation room. They can get food, clothing, housewares, whatever emergency services they may need.
We're the only Women Veterans Center in the state of Illinois. We are members of the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, Coast Guard, National Guard, and the Reserves.
Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. This is, of course, America's Heroes Group, the roundtable. She serves, she matters, with partner and sponsor NWVU. That's the National Women's Veterans United. We are on iHeartRadio. Our call-in number is 312-374-8130. And we've got two wonderful guests in our studio, but before I introduce them, I'm going to take a caller, Bernadette. Bernadette, hi.
Hi, Cliff.
How are you, Bernadette?
I'm doing well, thank you. Good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you.
Well, I just want to thank you and your guest. I still didn't get her name. I had to go away from the phone to get a pen.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so very much for your service and for her service and for the words she spoke. I just fished out of my trash bag the Wounded Warrior Project car magnet information and donation information. At first, I looked at it and I thought, well, I'm not going to make a donation. Looks like they're using these people to make some money, da-da-da-da-da. Those are my quick thoughts. But after hearing her, a live person, African-American woman, and most people go into the service come out wounded in some way,
mm-hmm.
whether physical, mental, or emotional or spiritual. And I'm going to make a donation because of the words she spoke, and I thank you so very much. And those words touched me not only to do this, but earlier I was thinking about a friend who called me the other day from St. Louis, and she's so flighty, and it seemed as if she was just always on 10. And I just really wasn't ready to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to call her and apologize because my attitude was not right inside of me. And most of us know when things inside of us are not right.
That's
when
true,
we've taken on a more haughty attitude than we should,
okay.
or we're not as in tune with someone, especially a friend you've known for 40-something years. So
well,
thank you on many levels.
Well, you are more than welcome, Bernadette, and we just thank you so much for calling and being willing to help. And can you hold on, please? And we'll talk to you, okay? I'll just hold on.
Oh.
All right. Thank you so much. Isn't that kind? And Bernadette, that's fine.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely.
And she's listening.
Yes.
So now she can hear the National Women Veterans United.
That's right. And that's who we have here in our studio. That's Rochelle Crump, U.S. Army veteran and founder of and president of the NWVU, the National Women Veterans United. And she said, and also in our studio is Colonel Donna Cooper, retired Illinois National Guard. And our discussion is about the organization's new location and August stand down. Ladies, great to see you both.
Thank you so much.
Good to see you, too.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Rochelle, are you starting us off?
Yeah, I can start us off. Okay. And we were really happy and elated to be here to talk about, you know, the transition that we're making from the location where we are now. We're actually moving out on July the 30th, and so we'll be starting over at another location on at 8620 South Pulaski in Chicago. And, we've had a great run at the facility we are at now, but mm-hmm. we've outgrown that space. And
that's a good thing.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And, you know, with that, we've gotten more attention, not necessarily from Chicago, Illinois, but from out of state. I have to say that the attention that we're getting are from individuals and foundations that are out of Chicago, you know, so I think the more that we can give about our information, we'll eventually, you know, have more interest here in Chicago as well, because we're a great group. We have a great group of women who are part of our organization, and it's not just an organization, it's a business also, because we provide a service for veterans.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
you know, the women that we have in our organization are from every branch of service. They're peacetime, they're wartime, and they have done some amazing things in the military and in their civilian, you
right.
know, careers. And I'm sitting mm-hmm. right next to one of them, you know.
Yes.
So very proud of her service and, you know, how she's landed, you know, coming out of the military and being in another faction in her life. So,
that's
you know, it's
great.
People like her that, yeah. you know, we want to keep in the focus also, because there's a legacy there, you know. And I know we're going to talk about our organization and everything, but it's important to know about women who go to the military, who actually come back, and they're like silent heroes in the community. And that's real, you know. A lot of times we don't know what women have done and gone through in the military, and these are the times that we need to preserve the legacy of them mm-hmm. being the first at different things that were in the military,
mm-hmm.
you know, so we're very proud of who we are, what we do, and why we do it.
And the numbers are growing.
Yes, they are. Yes, it is.
Females in the military.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know.
And when you see those black women that just graduated from West Point.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh,
it warms
goodness.
My heart. You know, and then they had another group that graduated from the Master Sergeant Academy.
Okay.
So,
mm-hmm.
and they were mixed, diverse, but, mm-hmm. you know, still they were proud women, and
sure.
they actually,
mm-hmm.
you know, looked like the same picture as the as the other one, because they were yeah. standing tall. They had their arms.
And then the year yeah. before that, you might have remembered that the cadet colonel out of West Point was a black woman.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and
yes.
so
she was the yeah, leader.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
right.
Yep,
and
yep.
she earned
you know,
it.
She, oh, she
it
had
wasn't
to.
Given to her. She, you know, she
you
earned
better
it.
Believe it. She,
and
she
that's
more
what we
than
say
earned
about
it,
our women.
Because you know what kind of crap they had to
oh,
go through.
Absolutely, absolutely.
With the racism and all
mm-hmm.
of that.
Yeah, and
then,
the
sexism.
Absolutely. And see,
yeah.
these women have served 20, 30 years in service, so they've done multiple tours
sure.
of, you know,
yeah.
of deployment as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's got to be hard on you. It's almost like when you move around mm-hmm. and everything, how hard that is. But just imagine when you're moving to deployment,
sure.
you know, how that has the residuals of what happens
that's
to
right.
you afterwards. So, you know, again, we're proud of our women. We're going to be moving, as mentioned. We have over 4,000 square feet. We're going to be able to do more things and family-oriented as well. You know, we're looking forward to being a little bit more, I'll say, more aggressive in our recruitment as well, you
oh,
know,
okay.
because there are others out there that we can help, and we know
mm-hmm,
we can help
mm-hmm,
them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life happens. Life happens with people who, you know, may lose a job or they get behind because they got sick and didn't have health care insurance
mm-hmm,
and, you
mm-hmm.
know, they weren't paid for the time that they had to take off, you know. And then we still have women who are not at a level of working because they are disabled,
mm-hmm,
you know, and
mm-hmm.
so, you know, they're getting HUD VASH vouchers and, you know, they have minimum income coming in.
Sure.
So, you know, a little help goes a long
yeah,
way, and we're very proud to offer that.
Yeah, this
yeah.
is Cooper.
Colonel.
We offer that mm-hmm. through our Right Now services. Every once in a while we'll get calls from people who need a little assistance. Maybe they need a car payment. Maybe they need to catch up on their rent. Maybe they need, you know, just even food. So we're very proud to be able to, through
That's
our
great.
Donations
that is great.
From other service
yeah.
women to offer them those services.
Yeah. yeah, yeah, that's wonderful. I tell you, when you mention that, let's say right now, give a phone number, please.
Yeah, our telephone number, 872-731-2150. And we use that stand down also to capture that data. You know, you got to have, you know, like information about how many people, what the issues are. So we do a pre and a post survey at the stand down to find out exactly what their needs are and what are the unmet needs.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we plan for the next stand down to perhaps bring in the providers that can either take care of those issues and or we follow up with them
mm-hmm.
to make sure that we have addressed those issues that they have identified.
I don't want to, Rochelle, just presume, because we have listeners who maybe not know what a stand down is.
Okay.
Yeah, just make sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Know. Yeah.
So it's like a respite day, if
mm-hmm.
you will. It's a day. It's an old term, if you will. Doesn't
right.
mean old people, but you know what I'm saying. I say old because it was back in the 70s. So.
Yeah, yeah, but still, they still
it,
do it.
Was,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when it first started, it was actually to address the issues of homelessness. That's how it actually
mm-hmm.
got started, out of the Veteran Resource Centers.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, over time it has changed. The numbers have not changed, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's still predominantly males that come to those stand downs, but they all come now for different reasons. You know, some because they do absolutely need the services, some because they look at it as a time that they're going to see their old buddies and, you know, and then others because they're going to get free things there. They're
mm-hmm.
going to get resources as well.
Sure.
But a lot of things are given to them for free. You know, there's, good things, too. Good clothing, military clothing. They really love getting the military clothing
mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
it's a chapter in their life that they don't forget,
mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
know. And so it means a lot to them to get that Army
mm-hmm.
jacket or that,
mm-hmm.
you know,
sure.
T-shirt or whatever. So, you know, we don't necessarily, like, focus in on that. we focus more on the issues because women are different. They have children as well, or, you know, we got to make sure that they're safe.
Sure.
So with that, mm-hmm. you know, we focus more on let's deal with what your issues are. You know, if you're homeless or if you're at risk of being homeless, you know, how can we better help you?
Part of the surveys,
go ahead.
That they determined, too, that they'd rather have a separate one, women yes. be separate from the men, because of the different issues and because even of the past sexual abuse and that. So they just didn't feel comfortable in the standout.
Of the what?
Past sexual abuse and harassment and things
like
that.
Oh, yeah, well, we just talked
sexual
about
traumas.
Yeah, we just talked about
right.
that.
So uh-huh. this is one of the reasons
yeah.
why we have a separate female standout.
Yeah, yeah.
There are still ones that they can attend and go with mm-hmm. the guys, but this is for women only.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Which is a good thing.
Oh, yeah. And mm-hmm. then, you know, we service those who are still wearing a uniform, too. So, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and we get them coming into our office that need services because they don't want to go to their command or to yeah. their unit to get service because they don't want to be looked at mm-hmm. in a different way. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we yeah. make sure that, you know, it's confidential and that we can help them whatever way it is that we can help them. We're going to help them either by referral or we're going to make it happen. For them one way or the other. And you can't serve your country when you're not being serviced yourself.
True.
You know, not effectively you can't. And we've seen that over and over.
Someone asked me the other day because she was aware of the show and all, and her dad was a World War II vet. And she was asking me about the honor flight. So I'm going to try to find out what I can about that. But, you know, they're so that's just a great thing that they do.
Sure.
And the reason I brought it up now is in talking mm-hmm. to you ladies. Have we had any women that you know?
Absolutely.
On the honor flights?
We
good.
Have a Korean War woman veteran. We have three in our group, but one of them, she does everything. She golfs. She line dances. She takes advantage of everything. She's just top of the line person, you know.
That's great.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. But she's got more energy than the average person, I'll tell you. So she's gone on that honor flight, and her husband is also a Korean War veteran. So
okay.
they go together, you know.
That's great.
And it's just so, you know, warm to see how she receives that welcome. You know, I mean, she was so excited. She comes back. She's got all the pictures and mm-hmm. everything. So, I mean, you're talking about happy. That made
yeah.
her happy.
Yeah, that's what I've
yeah.
seen.
Yeah, and him as well.
Yeah, that's what, mm-hmm. what I've seen. It's just such a great thing.
Yes.
There was a great event that I was happy to participate in a couple of weeks ago relative to the African-American soldiers in World War I.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's a shame that so many folks, that great statue there at 35th and
Kate,
yeah.
Yes.
And a lot of folks have no idea what
no,
that is.
No, they don't.
You
they
know,
don't.
And not only, it's things that this country has done,
mm-hmm.
That black folks have done for this
mm-hmm,
country,
mm-hmm.
let me put it that way, because
mm-hmm.
of the fact that they had to wear French uniforms.
Yes.
And segregated service
That's
and
right.
all of that. I mean, ridiculous.
That's right. And yeah. they still suffered the separatism.
Yeah, that's right.
So.
Although they were great soldiers, they
Absolutely.
Got all kinds of awards from
mm-hmm,
the French
mm-hmm.
for the things that they did.
Yeah.
And that was terrible
yeah.
warfare.
And the council comes out every year, you know, when they do the parade there.
Yeah.
The council comes
that's
out
right.
every year to recognize the soldiers.
Yep.
And, you know, it's wonderful that we can continue those relationships to remember those who gave so much that weren't initially recognized for the service that they did.
That's true. That's
so.
Very true.
You know, and when we talk yeah. about women, we feel that as well, you know, and that's
oh, yeah,
why
so
the
true.
Legacy is so important because these yeah. young people, and particularly with African Americans, we tell them all the time, you know, when you open those books and who do we see? Unfortunately, we see mostly white males, you know. It's kind of changing somewhat, you know, and I'm glad to see that, you know. It makes me proud because mm-hmm. there are, like I said, so many women that have done, you know, just some amazing, you know, up the ladder things that just don't get recognized for it. So when we have our stand down, I want to go back to that stand down.
Oh, please, yeah.
yeah, we'll
mm-hmm.
be actually, you know, bringing in providers to address some of those issues. We're hoping to get the Department of Veterans Affairs from the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs to come in and provide services along with the federal. So you're going to have mm-hmm. federal, city, county, and the state
Veterans
yeah. Affairs participating along with, you know, those other organizations like Catholic Charity, the YWCA, all of those that provide services to veterans that have a veterans component.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Colonel?
So this year our stand-down is going to be August 10th, the Chicago stand-down, and it's going to be at a new location for us because previously we've done it at the VA, we've done it at one of the National Guard Armories, but this year we're going to do it at St. Elizabeth's Church. That's on the south
the
side.
The hall.
The church
St. Hall. Elizabeth what?
Hall.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And that is 44 East 41st Street, right off of Wabash and
44 East.
Mm-hmm.
41st Street.
Yes, yes. And then we'll be, you know, getting the literature out. We just in the process of this move and doing so many other things.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we have a lot going on right now.
Well,
and
you do. When are you moving to Pulaski? When?
On August the 1st. That's when we'll be opening up, you know, our center for us to actually reorganize and get things ready. We'll still be seeing women veterans that need service.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we'll be going through some process because the Home Depot, we have to give them a shout out because they're actually doing like $15,000 worth of work, you know, for the organization.
Wonderful.
So, yes, and, you know, that's a team depot for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're pretty happy about that. You're really going to be busy.
Your official move is August 1st.
Yes.
To 8627
July 30th,
Pulaski.
And then we'll start.
Or July 30th,
yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But then on August 10th is the stand-down.
That's correct. So we're doing those things together. Yeah,
yeah,
and we have to because, you know, we have some obligations for some of the grants that we have. So this just kind of is just moving in the direction to make sure that we're in compliance with what we said we're going to do and how we do it. You know, it'll be very effective. I'm sure that the women will, you know, be proud to come. We're going to provide raffle gifts for them. You know, we always do something special for them. You know, we give away some prizes. We don't tell what the prizes are, but we do. And then we also have the United Relief Foundation that is supporting it as well. They're a contributor to it. And then, you know, we look forward to just being able to talk to those women and then making sure that they're okay. This is the only way when we come together that we can actually talk to people that we're not, that are not in our organization, who may be in the community. And there may be some real issues that are going on now that they're not getting things, you know. So, you know, suicide, you know, just, you know, we talk about all of those issues, depression, military sexual trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injury, and the list goes on and on, you know, but we have to be able to check on them, and that's something that doesn't necessarily happen in the community where we check on each other.
That's true.
You know, we might check on our relatives, but are we checking on that veteran that we've seen come in and out of their house and maybe, you know, not looking well or not looking cheerful? You know, we need to do those things because that's important.
It's very important, and I've said this a number of times. I was pleased because I hadn't heard it before this year when they talk about the fireworks.
Yes.
They used to say, think of the animals.
Yes.
Which is true, but now they're also saying, and the veterans.
That's right.
So I'm glad they're mentioning that because hearing that noise can really
add
some people.
The research of PTSD goes on and on and on, and they're finding out new things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time, you know, the triggers. What are the triggers? What are, you know, so we make sure that we
I know someone who hears helicopters. He got,
absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
So, and then we're going to have our open house, our grand opening. We're going to have that September the 7th at our new place.
Okay.
So we're working hard.
When is that?
September, Saturday, September the 7th. Mm-hmm. And then our next show, we'll be able to just kind of like get it all out at one time.
This is the grand opening.
Yes, that's going to be our grand opening.
At 8620 South Pulaski.
South Pulaski.
That's right. Okay. That's right. And then in October, we're doing a stand down in Indiana, in East Indiana. So because they come to the Chicago stand down and we read those surveys are very important to us because that's how we're able to find out what the unmet needs are. So the women come from Indiana and they indicated that they wanted to do the stand down in Indiana. They'd like to have one. Now, our obligation is that we serve women from all over. It's just not in Illinois because we all went through the same thing and we do things and there's always a slip in the crack in other states as well. well, you know. So we want to make sure that if, in fact, we can help those ladies who have served in their own community, we're going to do it.
What are, if you know, the percentages now? There are more women going into the military.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. They're yeah. younger, and they're coming from out of high school, going in there, and, you know, that's sometimes... We have to be watchful for that because, you know, the different training and then you were part of that discussion that we had with the military Marine Corps when he talked about the 20% increase of military sexual trauma going up instead of going down. Mm-hmm. So the fear of that are these younger women, you know, going into the military and making sure that they are covered, that they have a system that is going to protect them.
Right.
Because a lot of times that scares the parents from even letting them enlist, you know, because the military does some wonderful things. Let's not take away from what it does, you know, because it has some great benefits, you know, but there is a residual behind it.
Sure.
You know, unfortunately it is. But just think, and I told you this before, I really believe if women were not in the mass numbers that they are now, there would have been a draft.
There would have been a draft. Yeah,
you know, because you got Operation Iraqi Freedom, you got Operation, you know, Dawn, you know,
a lot of those. Desert Storm,
you know, so they would have needed more help.
You're right.
You know.
Well, I want to thank you both. You know, we're going to be having you back, obviously. You've got so much going.
We really do.
Rochelle Crump, who just does a great job, founder and president of course, the organization, WVU, and Colonel Donna Cooper.
Yeah, she's our board chair, too.
On board chair.
Yeah.
Very good.
And I just want to say to Bernadette, if you're still listening, you can donate to NWVU. You can go online and get her address. Or you can even buy something on Amazon and have Amazon Smile as with NWVU as your charity.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
This has been great. America's Heroes Group Roundtable. She serves, she matters.
Yes.
And that's what we have been doing today with all of these great women. And,
Absolutely.
Of course, the person who puts it all together is another great woman, our executive producer, Glenda Smith.
Yes.
And my co-producer, Governor of Talk Radio, Mr. Cliff Kelly.
Thank you.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you for listening to America's Heroes Group. Any questions or concerns regarding affordable housing, social services, wellness care, please feel free to call and donate to America's Heroes Group as well at 312-803-2618. We're located at 155 North Wacker Drive, Suite 4250. We sincerely thank you so much for watching us live on Facebook. Make sure you hit the Facebook like button at the top of our page. Therefore, you stay connected and will receive future notifications regarding shows, events, information, and resources regarding veterans, armed forces, family members, and the community. We are extremely grateful to our partner, Mrs. Dorothy Lavelle, of the Chicago Crusaders, and our articles on veterans, armed forces, and their family members, online at www.chicagocrusaders.com. To subscribe to the Chicago Crusaders weekly column with the Governor of Talk Radio, voices Mr. Cliff Kelly and America's Heroes Group, call the Chicago Crusaders at 773-752-2500 or send an email to ads@chicagocrusaders.com to request a subscription. To all of our iHeart listeners, you are really making our show possible. So we are so grateful to you every week for tuning in from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Have a blessed